You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for June 22nd, 2018. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where every day seems like the longest day of the year, it's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Solstice right now. This is the solstice. We're recording on the solstice, right?
We are. We'd like to welcome back our big sponsor from last week. We got a lot of feedback about this one. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to welcome back RubeTube. The RubeTube. Are you tired of your stream of state-run propaganda being interrupted by double-plus ungood information that makes your head hurt? I know I am.
Well, the same team of brilliant customer fulfillment's vertical synergy integrators who brought you Tizzy, the online dating app for hysterics, now brings you the RubeTube. The RubeTube applies state-of-the-art heuristic AI filters and Heisenberg compensators to eliminate every trace of irritating bad thinkfulness from your news broadcasts. The RubeTube. It's Fox News without Shep Smith.
And we did get a new sponsor literally just moments ago, Blue Gal. Like
an hour ago, I know.
Yeah, it came off the fax machine. Our new sponsor is called FlackU, custom-designed message jackets for awful people. Whether you're a Republican president declaring mission accomplished as the war you lied the country into goes horribly wrong, or you're a walking Republican brand accessory who wants everyone to know that you do not give a damn about the toddlers your husband put into cages, sending the perfect fuck you, we don't care message at just the right moment is an art and a science. So when you don't know what to say, but you want it to be really shitty and you want to own the libs, give the people at FlackU custom design message jackets for awful people a call. FlackU, our slogan is so horrifying, we can't say it on the air.
That's beautiful, Driftglass. But, you know, I worry a little bit about you and your tone and whether you're being, keeping with the New York Times style book.
It's true. I went against the New York Times, warned me. One of our listeners appreciated the fact that I had cut these swears down to a manageable amount.
And 20.
I do try.
There were 20 F words. I had to count them because I had to replace them to cross-post it at Crooks and Liars. This is a long story, but you said the F word 20 times in your New York Times post.
I wrote the F word 20 times.
You said and wrote the F word 20 times.
I did. Very specifically for a very specific reason. As I don't say nearly often enough on this podcast, Blue Gal and I are both writers first. Mm-hmm. We came to podcasting 8 years ago, but we've been writing. You've been writing for 14 years now. Is that right, Blue Gal?
I've been writing since November of 2004. So, 14 years in November.
And I'm 13 and a half or so. So we've been writing a long time every day about politics in America and media in America and so forth. And before that, we were both writers. Anyway, we wrote stories and we wrote essays. We wrote all kinds of stuff. We both love language. A hot date for us, doing the crossword puzzle over coffee.
That's right.
And we both adore it. But see, the thing is, I own the entire English language. Mm-hmm. And so do you. And so does everyone else out there. And picking the right word is an art and a science. And occasionally using the F word or the S word is exactly the right word to use. And when you're fighting against fascists and theocrats who have taken over your government and are wrecking every democratic institution in sight and laughing about it and rubbing your nose in it, and you let fly with the occasional fuck you fucking Nazis, let's say, that's when the New York Times, you know, collapses collectively onto the fainting couch and says, the problem is a lack of civility.
On both sides.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame that both sides are being so uncivil. And I went back to 2006 because I have archives and dredged up the late David Broder's column in which this was the smack in the middle of the Iraq war melting down. Turns out another Republican president was an epic disaster as a person and as a leader, as a human being, that his administration was wildly corrupt and evil almost from top to bottom, was doing horrible things and lying about it. And the Fox News was laughing about it. Right wing radio was laughing about it and calling liberals traitors and monsters and liars and vituperative foul-mouthed bloggers of the left.
Right.
Were the people that David Broder called out as being equally bad as the extremes on the right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing new in this. When the New York Times, the establishment press, the Beltway media cannot pretend any longer that the liberals are wrong on the facts of the matter, they bring out the tone police mm-hmm. to explain how it's the civility, it's the rudeness of the whole thing. It's just so very wrong. So I wrote a whole column and how to use fuck at a dinner party. And the point being, I will use the right word every time. I'll try to anyway. And occasionally I'll fail, just like humor. Sometimes jokes aren't funny.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fault of the person who's telling it, not the language they're using. But I reserve the right to use any word I choose, regardless of who gets pissed off about it, if it says exactly what I want it to say.
Right, right.
And that was my column today.
I just kind of dovetail that conversation into sure. another one? And that is this sort of belief out there in the ether, and it's being pushed by the White House, and it's being pushed by Trump's defenders in the mainstream media and people who can't cope in the rest of the media
uh-huh.
about lying.
Yes.
And lying is incivility, and lying right. is abuse. Like it or not, we are in a relationship with Donald Trump. He is the so-called president of the United States, and he therefore holds a constitutional role
yes.
over the United States of America.
We're in an arranged marriage, a shotgun right. marriage.
Exactly. And he is abusing this country by lying every day.
Yes, he is.
His party is abusing this country by lying every day. And I have been staying at the edge today of a conversation about Melania and her jacket.
Yeah.
Because she wore this is we come to the podcast. We come to the microphone right now dealing with the shock of seeing her in a jacket that says, I don't really care. Do you? Right. And this is a fashion statement painted on the back of her jacket.
As she leaves the internment camps where her husband has imprisoned babies.
Was she getting on the plane to go there or was she coming back?
I don't know.
Okay, I think she was getting – because she wasn't wearing the same – she changes clothes on the plane. So she does that. That happens. So mm-hmm. In any event, in the course of this trip and climbing onto an airplane, she was wearing a $39 fashion jacket. That is it's a green army green flak jacket, and printed on the back in sort of a paint font is "I don't really care, do you?" Mm-hmm. Which is designed for, I'm sorry, knowing that because I live with two of them, it's designed for an adolescent girl.
Yes.
Okay, that is who it's designed for.
To shock and provoke.
To shock you and provoke you and make you feel as though, oh my gosh, she doesn't care what I think. And yes, adolescent girls have that attitude. Melania Trump is a grown-ass woman. Mm-hmm. I personally believe that she is also an abused spouse, and I believe that given lots and lots of evidence to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if, as I said on Twitter if this is her fuck you to your husband, her husband, that she's going to somehow disrupt the mechanism
right.
By making this the story, she can't, there's all kinds of things she can't say, but she can wear a jacket. Well, and she would have to have the help of her staff in order to do that. I can't believe the staff let her on the plane with that on, but that's another story. I got a lot of clapback immediately from other women on Twitter saying, no, the benefit of the doubt train has left the station for Melania Trump.
Melania Trump, who may very well be an illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
We still haven't resolved that. Nope. We still haven't seen her papers. I'm not joking.
No, we're not joking.
She is quite possibly an undocumented person in the United States who was here, and according to your own husband's view of the law, should be tossed out of the country along with her son.
Except she got here on a genius grant, a genius visa. So, you know, no one else could do her job because of her high IQ. And her parents are also they live in the United States based on chain migration. That is a bona fide fact. So, there's a lot going on there. And I learned something today about Elaine Cho, also, who is Mitch McConnell's wife and sits as the Secretary of Commerce in the Trump administration.
Secretary of Labor.
Are you sure?
I think Commerce is.
Okay.
Wizened McWalnut face. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But she sits in the Trump cabinet. And I thought that she became a citizen through being, you know, a billionaire's daughter and so forth. It took her 10 years to become a U.S. citizen. She came here at the age of 8, not speaking English. Many, many sisters and brothers, very large family. And again, I don't know all of the details, but I do know that she did not become a U.S. citizen until she had been in this country for 10 years.
I have breaking Elaine Chao news, by the way.
Yes. What?
She is Secretary of Transportation.
Thank you.
She Secretary was. The reason I misremember that she was Secretary of Labor under George W. Bush.
Means, and she's one of the most qualified people that Trump has actually put on the cabinet in terms of experience and education.
And I can tell you stories about how she ran the Department of Labor, because a lot of my programs are funded by the Department of Labor when I worked in that arena.
Okay, we'll do that on another day.
Not today.
We'll do that on another day. The point is that she and Mrs. Trump are the two people within Trump's orbit who have experience as immigrants, who have experience with the immigration system, who it might be helpful to have as part of the conversation on how do you handle immigration. Instead, we have Stephen Miller giving Trump his advice on immigration. Elaine Cho was not at the meeting yesterday with members of Congress and the president, the so-called president. There was actually only one woman in the room. Everyone else was a white man.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
The woman
who was there was Liz Cheney.
Oh, of course it was.
Liz never closed Gitmo Cheney.
Right.
Who I learned today had her turn at the gavel at the House of Representatives yesterday. And took that opportunity to silence Louis Gutierrez.
Oh, nice.
And call him out of order and tell him to sit down because he had brought two migrant children to the House floor to visit. And it was out of order. And she gaveled him. Yeah. So she is at Trump's table. And I just find it one thing after another indicates to me that this is an authoritarian government and that things are very, very wrong in this country. And we've got one chance to fix it. We've lost our country.
I mentioned that this is not the only mention of Dick Cheney in our notes today.
No, really?
Yeah, see, you dovetailed me and I'm going to dovetail you right back, beautiful.
All right.
That's how we go here. I wanted to mention that this was the week. I'm jumping ahead just a little bit, but we'll go back to our regular scheduled outrage. Donald Trump accused Democrats of wanting illegal immigrants to pour in and infest our country.
Yes.
The direct quote was, "Democrats are the problem. They don't care about crime and want illegal immigrants, no matter how bad they may be, to pour in and infest our country like MS-13, which, for you youngsters out there, is something we call Cheney-esque. Because you might remember that Dick Cheney's campaign style and campaign message in 2004 during the Bush campaign for re-election to the White House was, if you vote for Democrats, terrorists will come and murder your children.
That's right. That's right.
And for you, even young, so it's not just Cheney-esque and Trump-esque. It's also Rovian. It's also Nixonian. Mm-hmm. It's also straight out of the Lee Atwater playbook. Black people are going to come and murder you. That's what liberals want. And it's also, just for you history students out there, the basis of the campaign that Bernie Epton ran against Harold Washington for mayor of Chicago in 1983. Mm-hmm. Bernie Epton's slogan over a mob of people who were running around going, was Bernie Epton, before it's too late.
Before it's too late.
This is Republicanism. This is not Trumpism, Republicanism. Liberals want to let bad people, usually brown, come into your neighborhood, usually safe and full of white people, and murder you and take your stuff and marry your daughters and God knows what else. We will protect you from that. That has been the Republican message for 50 years. And when you have a party that's built around that message, that's built around pandering to paranoid right-wing imbeciles, bigots, suburban morons who believe that to be true, the inevitable outcome is going to be a thug, racist liar like Donald Trump. That's just the way it's going to be. So in addition, just there were more lies. I just want to also mention in this context, Donald Trump also added, the people are suffering because of the Democrats. Because Democrats, and this is a new one, we've created and they've created, they've let it happen, a massive child smuggling industry. That's exactly what it has become. So Democrats are responsible for, I remember from the Republican debates, harvesting babies for their parts. And selling them for profit, for profit.
That baby was in the parts.
Baby part, the Republican presidential debate. And that person was not hauled off the stage, put in a sack, and was never heard from again. No, that was a legitimate Republican contender. And now we're in charge of a massive child smuggling ring. And of course, we want to let brown people into the country to murder you. And there are, 30% of this country for whom that is normal. That's what the inside of their rotted out brain sounds like all day, every day, all day, every day, all day, every day. So Blue Gal's right. We have one chance to fix this. And it comes in November.
Yep.
So if you aren't registered and if everyone you know isn't registered, get your ass out there and make that happen, because these people have to be stopped as quickly.
This is our last chance to save this country. I really got to that conclusion this week, that this is our last chance to save this country.
Well, when you've made Rachel Maddow cry.
Yeah, well, this has been a really emotional, hard week. And I did want to put in our notes because I thanked him and said, I think you've come up with the title of our podcast this week. Someone tweeted to Ann Coulter, who is an especially bad person this week.
She is.
Worse than usual.
She is.
Someone said to Ann Coulter on Twitter, liberals' heads exploded this week, Ann. It didn't turn out the way you thought it would.
Yeah.
And I really think this is a humongous fail for the Republican Party, for the Trump administration. And as I said to several people today, Melania's jacket may have cost them the Senate. I'm to the point now where I look at that and I think, oh my God, if this is like brushed aside, which is what they're initially trying to do, say, oh, come on, it's just a jacket. You know, I hope people aren't going to focus on that. I hope people are going to focus on this caring, lovely fashion model, spokesmodel going down to Brownsville for 5 minutes to smile and take pictures and talk about how much she cares, right? Focus on that. Don't focus on the fact that she had emblazoned across the back of her jacket, I don't care. Ignore that part. That may be the straw that breaks the Senate, the hold on the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, it might be, and it's certainly the net of, I mean, seeing Rachel Maddow break down in tears was stunning. Because she's Walter Cronkite. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. She's absolutely trustworthy. She has big glasses. She delivers the news straight. She does have her opinions, but she doesn't lie. And to see her
and
just...
And she doesn't get emotional. No. She doesn't allow the story to take her away. And this Babies in Cages did it for her, did it for the rest of us. I don't know of anyone who wouldn't have gone to bed. I went to bed crying Tuesday night.
No, it was.
I think everybody was just absolutely devastated by this news that there are baby cages. There are baby prisons.
There have been a few
taking
of those.
Babies away from the mother.
There have been a few of those nights in the last couple of years. Yep. I mean, the election night was
But this is different. This is policy. Right. This isn't just losing an election and not knowing, not realizing, oh, this is the country I live in, you know, and you get up and you're ready to fight. This is Hitler stuff.
Right.
This really is Hitler stuff.
Right.
And not knowing what to do except to scream and cry and swear and march.
And vote and get everyone
but
you know to vote.
Voting doesn't hold a baby right now.
Nope. That's the thing. The immediate.
And I know you wish that you could cry, Drift Glass.
I do. And I do from time to time. But.
And, you know, when Rachel Maddow cried, I cried, too.
Yes.
And I thought, but this is so different because I cry all the time. So.
Well,
I'm not as professional on the podcast as she is.
My wife cries only at important, appropriate occasions. And when she sees it, you know, a baby in a magazine that she thinks is probably going to be her grandbaby.
I wave it in your face. I'm going to knit a sweater for her because this is going to be my grandbaby.
That's right.
Yes, I do.
And it will. So my wife is a deep well of emotional health, and I'm a bitter old Irish asshole. So we're a pretty good team.
And I don't apologize to my audience for crying because I know they're crying right along with me. So,
Well, and this was a week for it. This is absolutely a week for it.
I'm not criticizing Rachel Maddow for apologizing. I know she's paid a lot of money to deliver the news, and she feels a professional responsibility to be able to read an AP story without breaking down. And so she did apologize for that. And of course, everyone said you didn't need to. You're just human.
Right. It reminds,
but I do think that was a galvanizing moment for a lot of women.
Yes.
There have been stories. There's one in the New York Times about, my mother, the MSNBC viewer and it was told from the perspective of a millennial, of course, because that's who's you get to write guest op-eds in the New York Times now, talking about, you know, Republican dad who doesn't talk about politics much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But mom has a glass of wine and starts with Chris Matthews and is up until Rachel Maddow's over, until Lawrence O'Donnell's over, you know, because this is her survival link to reality.
Oh, yeah. No, this emotionally, this reminds me of Katrina. The way the news media was wading through water, bodies floating in the water, children just abandoned by their government. And members of the media up to their knees in sludge going, what the hell's wrong with this country? Why isn't the federal government down here in force? What the hell is wrong with you people? I mean, really, they lost their sort of
objectivity.
Because
their reality, they couldn't deny what the camera was showing and where they were standing. And that happened today. I'm sorry, I don't know the name of the reporter, but talking on MSNBC from Tornillo, Texas,
mm-hmm.
Said, and it's this man, and he's wearing army green also, but he's a reporter. He said, the thing I can't shake, this is his quote, the thing I can't shake is everyone is lying.
Right. Everyone.
The president's lying. The heads of agencies are lying. The Border Patrol people on the ground are lying.
That's not
subtle. We are being told that there is nothing happening here. No tents. Look, there are at least 18 tents.
Right.
There are 400 kids in this wired compound right behind me. And, you know, he cannot believe, he can believe his eyes and ears and what he's seeing.
Well,
he cannot believe that people are just lying to him.
I forget who pointed this out, but over the last, I don't know, 7 days, members of official spokespeople for the Trump administration, the administration officials have changed their lies about their toddler internment camp program 14 different times.
14 different times.
Which is why your crazy Uncle Liberty doesn't want to talk about politics no more.
Right.
You know, the guy who knew every twist and turn of Obama's birth certificate and Benghazi and the conspiracy and Pizzagate suddenly doesn't want to talk about politics at all.
Because it
turns out the libs were right. And he doesn't.
And libs' heads exploding is a huge thing that makes us, as I've said many times before, the moral majority.
Yes, it does.
And what are you going to do now?
Well, and just someone pointed out the other day, and again, I don't know who was saying something like, is this Donald Trump's Katrina? And
did you laugh?
No, because a smarter person than me said, Trump's already had his Katrina.
Trump's already had a Katrina.
It was called Maria. It was in Puerto Rico. And by the way,
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico's a year later is still fucked because these people do not care about brown people.
That's it.
Any non-rich white person who's not right in front of them, they don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
And then they just lie and lie and lie and lie and lie and lie and lie about it.
And that was Trump's Katrina, not this. And it's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so
I did want to mention.
I don't feel like lecturing our listeners about this because our listeners show up.
Yes, they do. Every time. Every time.
Every time. Mm-hmm. So if you don't mind, Driftglass.
Yes, please.
I'm going to pull up this wonderful letter that we got today.
What a wonderful idea.
Because I think we need a break to just get back, get focused again. there are some good news.
Yeah.
And I am going to refer to this person as Mrs. Smith because she said no names. No names at all. Hi, DG and BG. A couple weeks ago, I arrived at an area where I parked my car to go on my daily walk along the river. It was around 7:30 in the morning, and as I got out to gather up the stuff I carry, my water bottle and everything, a fellow walked up to the lot from the trail and started doing stretches after his run. He soon came over to me and said, I noticed your bumper stickers. And guess what? She's got a both sides don't bumper sticker.
Oh, my God. Really?
Oh, my God. He paused and said, she wasn't sure what he was going to say. He said, they're awesome. It's so great to see stickers like these around here. And here is the red part of our state that makes the state purple. So, you know, that's where she lives, wherever that is. Mm-hmm. He pointed to one of them and said, I like that one. Lots of people have no idea what that's about. And it was the both sides don't sticker. Oh, my gosh. I would have never figured he would have focused on that one. Uh-huh. I then explained where I got it, who you are, your podcast, how much I love what you do, smart, funny, empathetic, liberal, progressive, angry, but positive. Mm-hmm. And that since you only broadcast 1 hour a week, it is friendly and manageable. So he wrote down your web address. Then he commented on the other ones. And she has a Bernie sticker on her bumper sticker that says, Bernie, enough of this shit. Something I voted for Bernie because of enough of this shit. Okay. And she has one that says, I'm already against the next war. Amen. Mm-hmm. And then he said, hey, is that the flying spaghetti monster? So he even knows about Pastafarians.
My God.
I live in a small town full of Republicans, and this guy was with it. So maybe my town is really changing. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the golden nugget of this story.
This is all gold, Blue Gal.
Yeah.
So.
Well, here's an even better golden nugget.
Okay.
We're going to call him Mr. Jones because we have
Miss Smith. I haven't heard this letter before, just so we're clear.
Not heard this yet. No. Mr. Jones teaches contemporary history at our high school. Gosh, that must be hard around here, I said. Well, yes, said Mr. Jones. I'm careful not to be partisan, but I do talk about how corporations are destroying all of us, not just some of us, and quashing our democracy. And I occasionally make breakthroughs. One young man stayed after class one day. He wanted to talk. He came up to me and said, Mr. Jones, I walk out of your class so angry about what's going on. We chatted for a while, and when the student left, Mr. Jones pumped his arm and said, I got one.
Yeah. Get him young. If the Catholic Church teaches you anything.
Yep, that's right. So. I asked him if he would like an I'm already against the next war bumper sticker because I have a bunch of them in my glove compartment. I carry them in my car to give to people who admire them. I've handed out about a dozen. So I think I should have a few both sides don't in my stash also.
I agree.
Just wanted you to know you might have a new listener, signed Miss Smith. All right.
Well, Miss Smith, fantastic. That is.
Yes. Thank you very much for that letter. That cheered me up this morning and, you know, spread the gospel. What can I say? That's what
my heart grew
10
times that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, by the way, my heart did grow greatly listening to that letter. But we went to go see a movie this
week. We went to $5 Tuesday. That's what
$5 Tuesday movie.
We did.
And here's, Here's the only thing I have to say about the entire movie-going experience is this. Please, for God's sake, stop remaking The Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yep.
For God's sakes, just stop it. Stop it. Stop. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
But that's just delightful. That's wonderful. I am thrilled that we can do that for her. And I'm just there's tickle pink. But now you've made it really hard for me to get back into my, you know, groove.
Your
here,
grumpiness my, now and
well,
and,
I'm not grumpy. I'm actually very hopeful because the number of people and so the velocity of their anger, the velocity of their let's get these fuckers out.
No, that was my comment was these mofos are going to go. Especially the night that Rachel Maddow cried and it was babies mm-hmm. being held, you know, and again, I don't want to go back to that mental state because I want to finish recording this show, but
absolutely.
That night just saying, oh, we're coming for you. You know, this right. you're gone. We are going to make sure that you're gone. And the number of a-holes in the Trump administration who are now trying to bring up abortion as being a whataboutism when it's Obamacare that has reduced the abortion rate in America and they're trying to they don't have any other ability. They're the legislature full of Republicans doesn't know how to do anything except pass repeal Obamacare laws. That's
well, that's
their only.
That's
skill.
My note about. Mm-hmm. That's my note about Philip K. Dick versus Donald Trump.
Oh,
it is
that,
a novel.
Like, let's go there. Philip K. Dick versus Donald Trump.
It's just Philip K. Dick has a novel that's pretty good and falls apart towards the end called Counterclock World, which one day suddenly people woke up and time was running backwards.
Mm.
Except it wasn't perfect. So if you wrote a great novel. Once the time as it ran backwards approached the time when you wrote the great novel, you would have to unwrite it and then take your only copy of it to the library, which was the controlling government entity of the place, and they would destroy it for you. But it rolled back and back and back and back, and time just kept going. And it didn't happen the same on Mars, so it wasn't a novel that was entirely thought through. But the key element of that was the government was terrified because if time keeps rolling backwards – eventually you reach the moment in this novel when the biggest social rights activist died and that person will then come back to life. Oh. And now we're screwed. So if you want to go to the back, if you want to take us back to the past, I'm all for it. Let's go. Let's shoot for 68,
mm-hmm.
shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Let's shoot for then. Let's shoot for people in the streets. Goddamn, not Nixon. Remember, we're going back past Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
We're going past Nixon. We're going back. Well, let's go back to the good old days of streets full of people protesting, of pastors and children and people in their Sunday best and African-Americans walking through the streets, goddamn demanding justice. Because mm-hmm. if that's the past you want to go back to, I'm on board. But I think we already have that.
Oh, I think
I think the elements are all there. So it just struck me that literally the only agenda that Donald Trump has is undoing everything Barack Obama did and making the black president disappear into history. And that's never going to happen.
Right.
I also wanted to mention, since you brought up Ann Coulter, now we never talk about Ann Coulter on the show. There's certain people we just don't talk about because they're just such desiccated human waste. All they do is just run in circles, shouting insanity in every direction. And why comment on that? You don't hear us commenting a lot on Fox. But this is more of a media story because Ann Coulter was on Fox, some obscure third tier Fox.
Yeah. Sunday night show. Something I'd never heard of before. Yeah. Yeah.
But she hangs on to her, you know, her last little shred of celebrity with her talons dug in deep. And she went on this show and announced that, and I'm going to quote you now, these child actors weeping and crying on the other networks 24/7 right now, don't fall for it, Mr. President, because they're actors. These kids are being coached. They're being given scripts to read by liberals. According to The New Yorker, don't fall for the actor children. That's what she mm-hmm. said on television. Mm-hmm. Period. Full stop. And of course, it's a lie. She lied. I wrote it up and I went and looked and there is no such New Yorker article. There is no mention of child actors. There's nothing like that. So she went on television and she pretty blatantly lied. Then this week, and this is where activism becomes really important, because the other thing you can do is lean hard on your local media. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got to call their attention to the fact that they are normalizing these lunatics. Mm-hmm. Ann Coulter is syndicated in our local paper. Yep. I had an opportunity to talk with and listen to the op-ed editor of our local paper. I asked them about Ann Coulter specifically. Mm-hmm. And the answer was, well, we have Leonard Pitts.
Yeah.
And they're pretty much the same. I went down the whole list. Here are the titles of her books. She's a lunatic.
You said
she's
all of completely... this to the editorial.
I said all this. And the answer was, well, that's your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There are many opinions. We do fact checkers. So when she says, you know, that X, Y, and Z person was killed on a particular day, it might be wild cherry picking, but the facts that she puts in her column are correct as far as we can tell. But the larger question was, well, wait a minute. If the right just keeps moving further and further and further to the right, and you believe that for the sake of fucking balance, you're required to find some midpoint between Ann Coulter and Paul Krugman, and that's where you want to be. All Ann Coulter has to do is just keep moving further right, and you will follow her along like a puppy dog. At what point does it become irresponsible of you to publish conservative opinions because they are objectively evil? Mm-hmm. And the answer was, well, we do publish Leonard Pitts, and he's sort of on the left, and Ann Coulter's on the right. And it was the answer I was expecting. Yeah. I didn't storm out. Because that's how newspaper op-ed columnists think.
Yeah. Yeah,
they let's face it, 60% of their audience in our community are Trump voters.
Oh yeah, for sure, lifelong Republicans.
If you ran a newspaper that actually told the truth about Republicans, you would lose all of your advertisers, and your paper would fold up tomorrow. But it still is incumbent upon you when you get an opportunity to really ask hard questions. And there were a lot of questions for which they had no answer. It was objectively speaking, over the last decades or so. The right has moved way, way, way to the right. Mm-hmm. Now, why is it okay? And the other answer was, well, we used to have Michael Gerson and Kathleen Parker, but they all started sounding the same.
What they mean is they started sounding against Trump.
Right. These are Republicans
who
are
once considered. We have to have one pro-Trump voice.
Three pro-Trump.
We have to have for balance.
For balance. Three pro-Trump voices. And that's the problem, because as the Republicans who I fault for being part of this machine for 30 years started going, well, wait a minute, this is crazy. This is just objectively nuts. Those people became unacceptable because they no longer represented the right anymore.
Right, right.
Therefore, their voices were dialed out, and we dialed in Byron York and Ann Coulter because we have to have both sides. It doesn't matter that one side is objectively evil. It matters that we have this fake balance so that I can say I publish both sides. And that is the problem.
Okay, so, Dirk Glass, I have a question for you. This is me playing devil's advocate. I want to warn you. I want to warn everyone ahead of time. All right, I'm playing devil's advocate here. What do you believe that the newspaper editorial people would say if you said, all right, but you are actually silencing real Republican voices? By pretending that Trump is the Republican side of things.
Well, who would you have us publish?
The Never Trumpers.
Those all sound the same. Very,
and so you're under tremendous pressure to publish pro-Trump news. Pro-Trump editorial content.
Supportive.
Right.
Supportive. Largely supportive of Donald Trump and what he's doing. The short answer to the implied question that I would give is the reason you can't find any intellectually honest people to represent Donald Trump is because there aren't any.
Exactly. Exactly.
If
you're going to decide, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate here because I get what you're saying. But the people that they are silencing in that equation, if they're going to have Leonard Pitts and then have Ann Coulter, and that's their balance. First of all, you're right. Eventually, when Ann Coulter shrivels up into the mortal coil that she, you know, goes back to hell.
And blows away, yes.
You're going to wind up at Stormfront, right? You're going to wind up some insane Nazi blog. And that's going to be the person who says, yes, Trump is right. And you're going to have to include that voice in order to have a pro-Trump voice on your editorial page. Indeed. Okay. So that's the logical conclusion to that stand. But well, at the same time, the people that you are squeezing out of the debate, and this is me playing devil's advocate, are the never Trumpers.
More or less. I'm sure there's one or two in there, but they have to have, you know, all
Parker
sides.
Kathleen Parker is there, right? She's still syndicated.
No, she's,
oh,
not.
She's not. See?
No, she's not in the paper.
See,
no.
That's my point then, is that mm-hmm. they really are silencing the never Trumpers then.
Or they're I just would argue over the technical, the semantics of it. I think they're dialing them way uh-huh. down because they all sound the same.
Okay. That reinforces the assertion. Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. That reinforces the assertion that Donald Trump has, quote unquote, taken over the Republican Party.
Yes, it does. Yes,
and
it does.
That's and a false statement because the Republican Party has been Trumpian. As I've said, we don't you dare call it Trumpism. It is the Republican Party. It has been since Fox News came on the air. And before that, this is Newt Gingrich and Rush Limbaugh. And based on, you know, racial white resentment and a desire for white supremacy. And that's what it has been all along. So but they're reinforcing that belief that Donald Trump is the Republican Party now.
Well, and they're also reinforcing a really dangerous trend, mm-hmm. which is Ann Coulter did not specifically lie in the specific right. column that we put in our right. paper. Therefore, she is sufficient to lend our credibility
right.
to.
Right.
Except she lies all the time in every other media. So what you're saying is you can trust Ann Coulter. Well, here's the very specific example that this nonsense about you know, these kids being fed mm-hmm. scripts. Which he very specifically said was based on a New Yorker article yeah. of these kids are being fed scripts, they're actors. Well, apparently she was called out repeatedly by many people. And she, of course, did what Ann Coulter does. She went on a massive, screaming, hysterical, Gish Gallop blitz of unrelated mm-hmm. facts. Mm-hmm. The one case she found in the New Yorker, and there was a case of someone who was coached in how to approach her immigration status so that she could get asylum, was a grown-ass woman in New York. It was one case, and it was 2011. That was the only mention of this anywhere in the fucking New Yorker. But Ann Coulter
back
just goes
George
on a complete
W.
what about
Bush was what president? About or when, no, when Obama was president. 2011. Okay.
But it had nothing to do with children, had nothing to do with this particular policy, had nothing to do with anything that she swore was the truth yeah. on television. But of course, being a Republican, you never admit yeah. you're wrong. So she started pulling shit out of it. What about 2007? What about 2009? What about this case way the fuck over here? I know a guy whose cousin did this. And it was Ann Coulter knowing that if she ever admits she's wrong, she will, like the Wicked Witch of the West, she will melt and mm-hmm. blow away. And so she just dug in like they do and screamed at the top of her lungs, which is, of course, what you can do if you're Ann Coulter and you have a printed page and no editor, and just yeah. went berserk. And that will end the argument because who wants to deal with that? The point being, she's nuts and she's evil and she's been nuts and evil for 20 years. Well, since the Clinton yeah, blowjob yeah. years, that's when she got her start. And the only reason she continues to have a presence in the universe, in the media, in the spotlight, anywhere, is because everyone else thinks she's famous enough to keep putting yep, in their fucking yep. newspaper. So the reason that she's in our paper is because mm-hmm. she's well known. Well, she's well known because lots of people like you keep putting her in their paper because she's well known. She's well known for being evil and lying and saying horrible things. And that's the problem, is you can't convince the people who are supposed to be the gatekeepers to keep the
well,
gates.
And I think we ought to talk about Michelle Wolf and her video then.
Yes. Oh, that was the perfect palate cleanser.
Michelle Wolf has a show now on Netflix, and she put a video of a clip of it on YouTube in which she names the New York Times and Barry Weiss by name as giving off giving off horrible opinions. That all opinions right. are valid. No, these are terrible opinions. And why are you publishing terrible opinions? And it's a skit, so I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to redo the whole thing.
No.
But but she, well put. She, all this idea that all opinions are valid and we need to have all voices and we need to have all this is like, no, some opinions are really terrible. And she does it by name. And so it's worth checking out on YouTube. Look up Michelle Wolf op-ed and you'll find it. And it connects to what you were just saying about Ann Coulter, that if everyone retweets it because they're mad at Ann Coulter and what she says, she wins, right? You and I had
right. That's I had why we don't mention her,
and we are now mentioning her. we're part of the problem, Driftglass.
To illustrate a point about how the media, the actual paid print media, keeps her alive when her career should have been dead 15 years
ago. And back when I was blogging at my own blog every day, and that was my only outlet, I didn't mention her. She was not mentioned. So, you know, I think that's I think she is worthy of shunning. If Jimmy Fallon is worthy of shunning, you know, and he's really upset now, by the way, folks, because ruffling Donald Trump's hair hurt his career, hurt it badly.
Badly.
And he's now, you know, on a podcast complaining about this, saying, you know, please look at the whole body of my work. I would not have done this. You know, I would not have done this. I would not do this again. If I had to do it over, I wouldn't have done it. And good for him.
Good for you. That's good for you, Jimmy.
But a lot of people are not ready to play nice with anybody who enabled this from happening. And so
I would like to mention one other person who we'd never talk about on this podcast, but in service of a discussion of the larger problem in our media. Mm-hmm. And that person is an obscure writer of columns called David Brooks.
I never heard of him.
Yeah. Or as I refer to him, David fucking Brooks. And he really exceeded my expectations this
week. Did he really? That's hard to do.
Yes, he did. He really, really did. Because of Stephen Miller.
Oh, and advise our listeners that if Driftglass is going to go on when he goes on a David Brooks rant, I start a timer. Yes. So he's got 5 minutes. So you can fast forward 5 minutes if you don't want to hear this, but go.
You'll take three. Because it was David Brooks for the umpteen zillionth time using his New York Times op-ed column to just lie. Now, he doesn't lie by, you know, misrepresenting a specific number, but he lies about the nature of conservatism. And I'm just going to read a couple things from the column and point out the obvious fact that David Brooks is lying. What he said in his column this week is that the whole thing with Stephen Miller and putting toddlers in prison illustrates something crucial about this administration. It's not populated by conservatives, Blue Gal. It's populated by anti-liberal trolls. There's a difference.
Oh, God.
But does he stop there? Of course not. Because the real heroes in this, the real heroes are people like David Brooks.
Of course.
What's most significant is this. The Trump administration immigration officials have become exactly the kind of monsters that conservatism has always warned against. Mm-hmm. Really? That's remarkable. I don't remember reading that anywhere. But how long, Blue Gal, how long has conservative been warning about these monsters? For centuries, Blue Gal, for centuries, conservatives have repeated a specific critique against state power. For centuries, David Brooks has been a hero, warning us every day out there with his bell and his sackcloth and his ashes going, don't elect monsters. But who is to blame, Blue Gal? Who are the real villains here? According to David Brooks, America's most ubiquitous conservative public intellectual, and who is the center, according to every idiot on the internet who goes, oh, Brooks nailed it. He just fucking nailed it. The real villains here will not surprise you. People like Stephen Miller are not steeped in conservative thinking and do not operate with conservative disposition. They were formed by their rebellion against the stifling conformity they found at liberal universities. That's right, Blue Gal. Liberals are to blame for Stephen Miller. Mm-hmm. Not conservatism. Has nothing to do with this. And then I went back to 2006 and pulled an old Digby column in which she coins the phrase, conservatism cannot fail. It can only be failed.
Yep.
Because that's always the excuse of conservative trolls like David Brooks, who are paid enormous amounts of money by the New York Times to lie to people twice a week, every week in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Somehow it's never conservatism that's at fault. And somehow the crisis is never here. The crisis is always in the offing or it just passed. It's either if we don't stop it now, soon, someday, eventually something bad might happen. Or, oh, thank goodness, the bad times are over. Now conservatism is in a renaissance. The Republican Party is reborn. David Brooks writes those two columns back and forth every 6 months for the last 15 years. And that's why the media is broken, because Ann Coulter is the conservative and David Brooks is the sensible center. And there's no room in this equation for actual liberals who've been actually right all along. Is that 5 minutes?
That was no. And that was not my timer. That was middle child's alarm on my phone that she put on there for 420.
420, blaze it.
Blaze it. And she's not here.
Right. So in her honor.
She is on vacation with her dad on the other side of the country. Mm-hmm. And so she set an alarm on my phone to go off at 420.
That's right.
I can't even, you know.
But I'm done. I finished
you did under 5 minutes. And it is 420. We're blazing it here at CASA DGBG. No, we're not. Mm-hmm. But I did confirm that the I really don't care jacket came from the juniors department. It is designed for teens. Mm-hmm. That is who it's designed for. Okay.
You want to do a little rundown of the news?
We can do a roundup now because we are to the point.
Okay.
Where?
Well, there's a lot of news, but I do want to.
I promised the youngest child is home, by the way, and I promised her we would be done by 4:35. So we've got 15 minutes left. Okay. All right.
Well, I wanted to mention Sterling Archer.
Yes.
Because Sterling Archer, as you know, is the world's greatest secret agent, and he pioneered. Just ask him. And he pioneered the use of the tactical turtleneck. Everyone knows this, the tactile neck.
Oh, Lord.
Well, Scott Pruitt has spent more than $4.6 million in taxpayer money on security, including $2,749.62 on, quote, tactical pants and, quote, tactical polos. So I just thought,
Drift
Glass,
tactical pants and tactical polos. Uh-huh. Those cost more than our mortgage and health insurance combined.
Yes, they do.
That puts everything in perspective, Drift Glass.
It really does. And of course, Scott Pruitt, his whole motto is, why the fuck not?
Yeah, exactly.
They put me in charge of the candy store. I like candy. I don't see the cops anywhere. Hey, the cops, I own all the cops. Right. The cops all work for me now. So fuck it. Let's just stuff our pockets.
Did you put anything in here about Wilbur Ross?
I did.
Oh, let's get to that because it's connected.
It's on page 7. It's on page 72 of our notes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Wilbur Ross, who is the Commerce Secretary.
He is the Commerce Secretary.
He shorted a stock in a Kremlin-linked shipping firm after learning that journalists were investigating his offshore investments. Because you get to do that when you're rich and you're white.
That's called playing the win-win game, you know?
It is. It's outright fucking theft. That's all it is. It's outright theft. And you know, for 30% of this country, they don't know, they don't care. For another third, they are too busy doing whatever the hell it is people do who pay no attention to this to pay any attention to this.
If anyone knows anything about investing, I would like to know how the fuck shorting a stock is legal.
Yeah, when you have advanced information.
I don't understand how it is legal to bet that a stock is going to go down. And who benefits from that? Besides Wilbur Ross.
You mean any stock or just this particular
case? Any stock. Who does this benefit?
Here's what we're going to do. You and I, after this, we're going to bust out a copy of Trading Places. We're going to talk about orange futures or orange juice futures.
This seems like there's a whole lot of shit out there in Wall Street world. Yeah, I wrote a short story. I started a short story in our writing class this week that talked about the children at the border and talked about pressing 9 for Spanish, nueve,
yes,
and ended with, this is America, speak banking, because I had to call my bank on a day to fix something. They had to fix something.
Right. They broke.
That they broke. And because I speak customer service and English – I knew exactly how to approach the problem in a way that they could give me everything I wanted. but I'm fully cognizant of the fact that I have all of these skills and all of this talent and privilege behind me that allows me to do this. And so when I'm going through this on a day when we've all learned that babies are in cages on behalf of our government, and I hear in Spanish, you know, press 9 for Spanish, and I think, oh, wow, the MAGA types are all bent out of shape about that, you know.
They are.
That really there's a lot of layers there. One thing that happened to us in the past week is we lost our battle with Obamacare in terms and the Trump administration in terms of being able to get subsidies that we feel we are entitled to. We're not going to have them. We're going to pay full price for our health insurance for the next year. And at half the income that we had before before Amazon dumped us.
And I was laid off.
And you were laid off.
And now Amazon has to charge sales tax to all 50 states.
That's a good thing.
Deep breath. We were hoping that this would be resolved and we would have some subsidies, but we don't have those. But after I shed tears over that and felt awful about that and felt depressed about that, you know, a thought tapped me on the shoulder, and you can take that however you want, saying, Fran, you are the best person to advocate for people like you who are going through this.
That's absolutely true.
And so having this, you have been given this problem because That's you are right. the best person. And sure enough, you know, I've already have a list of the states where freelancers and other independent people will fall in through this loophole. I've started compiling the addresses of the the attorneys general for those states because that's where it's got to go. And the fact that I just already know that, that this has to go to the attorneys general of the states. There's 33 states where this is the case, where a freelancer who has a change in income and is off of the exchange and has loses the ability to get a subsidy as a result. You just deleted a trigger warning.
I deleted the whole thing because I'm okay. My wife is at her saturation point now.
Thank you very much. I'm the perfect person to take this on and get attorneys general's attention for how we can change this and how this is not the intent of the states that provided these options to people.
But this is just a screwed up unintended consequence of
It's a loophole that was not part of the intention of the attorneys of the states that made this change. Yeah. So
all the changes were well intentioned, but it left this big loophole where if you have a
It was in reaction to Trump. So let's also admit that Trump was taking money out of the Obamacare system, and the states reacted to that by making a less expensive silver plan off of the exchange that people could buy. It's still very expensive. But it's out of the exchange, and you can buy it, and it's at a lower cost. And it's basically getting a subsidy from the state instead of from the federal government.
Right. But if you take that option, and then your income plummets.
You're locked
out.
And
you go back to the exchange and say, I'm sorry, I'm a freelancer. My income dropped by 50%.
Right.
If you miss the date, you're screwed for a year.
You're screwed for a year. Yep.
Yeah. And so it's just
not fair. But, you know, it's first world problems, folks, and we understand that. And the other thing is, because of all of that, our premiums will be deductible from our taxes because it's healthcare costs. And
my wife is well positioned to be a superhero in so many different ways.
Yeah. And
autism,
I would
advocacy,
all of this. To make sure that every one of those babies is back with their mom.
I know you would. I know you would.
I would sacrifice
go without
and pay for the rest of my life and be poor for the rest of my life. I've been poorer than this, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know how you feel, baby. And I would give up writing about David Brooks.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Well, I'm giving you a hug. We're 40 feet apart, but I'm giving you a big hug right now.
Give me a big hug.
Okay, I'm going to roll through the news.
Real quick.
And you take a breath.
Yeah.
This is the week that we learned that, according to President Stupid, crime in Germany is way up, except, of course, the opposite is true. It's way down. But you got to scare people about immigrants, so just make shit up, right? I'm betting that sudden drastic policy changes on immigration are going to be the new terror alerts. Remember those?
Oh,
remember
those level orange, right before the election? Right, right.
When you need to tweak the base and get them out to the election, you scare them about gay people and you scare them about terrorists. Because the White House policy advisor, Stephen Miller, has said that Trump administration is planning additional immigration crackdowns before the midterms. So buckle in, folks. Here it comes.
This is manipulating his stupid base. Yeah, for sure. Right. And also, The part about yesterday, Wednesday, when he was going to have this executive order and DHS had written up an executive order for him to sign, and for an hour and a half it was, will he or won't he? And I'm sitting there going, well, of course it's going to be, the focus is going to be on him and whether or not he comes in to save the day. It's this reality TV show presidency, and nothing is real and nothing matters anymore when it comes from that person.
Well, Anne-Marie Cox was at the Duluth rally, and she wrote about it in the Rolling Stone. I've skimmed through it, but what she was mostly – what hit her was how giddy and happy people were there.
Wow.
Because – and I sent her a tweet saying, of course they were. You know, in the final days of the thousand-year Reich, they were partying in the bunker, and they were assuming giant invisible armies were going to come manifest themselves and come save them, and they were just nuts. They were completely cut off from reality. That's what the Trump base is. They don't even talk to reality anymore. It's nothing to do with them, except to double check on whether or not his project is going well. Vladimir Putin apparently will be here next month. Check up on Donald Trump. Make sure he's following orders, because, you know.
Check up on my investment.
I have three words. Space Force bitches. Yes, America will have a sixth branch of the armed forces, and it will be in space.
And the rebels will pay for it.
That's right.
Cameron Grant at Cool Cam 101 won the recruitment slogan for the Space Force. The rebels will pay for it.
Rebel scum, you'll pay for this. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Jason Kessler, who you might remember is the organizer of one of the organizers of last year's neo-Nazi rally in Charlottesville, has somehow gotten initial approval to hold a rally on the National Mall across from the White House on August 12th. I looked this up. Fun fact, Blue Gal, August 12th will be the 80th anniversary of the Third Reich mobilizing its military to get ready to take over Europe. So that's exciting. Yeah. Yeah. Breaking news here, people. It's 80 years out of date, but it's still breaking news. Steve Bannon has said very clearly that Donald Trump has never lied to the American people. In budget news, it turns out separating migrant children from their parents costs actually more than twice as much as keeping them with their parents.
Absolutely. So, free labor. Yeah. And the ankle bracelet, that program that they had, they had a pilot program to have parents and people seeking asylum voluntarily wear an ankle bracelet, and then they would be allowed to come into the country while their case was being adjudicated. And that program was bringing about a 99% rate of people showing up for court dates. It seemed to be working really, really well. And they stopped it.
You know
why they stopped
it?
Because it's Obama program.
Of course. You know who the 1% was that never showed up?
Manafort. It was Paul Manafort.
Yeah.
He took his fifth passport and fled the country. Right?
He's trying. He's at the gate. My name is Miguel.
Can we also talk about the fact, since we last recorded a podcast, Paul Manafort went to jail.
Yes, he did.
He was immediately moved to a better jail.
Better jail. Everyone
was saying he was going to be sleeping with cockroaches and sort of cheering about that a little bit.
No.
There is nothing right about a jail that's infested with cockroaches.
No. The jail is where you go to see whether a country is civilized or not.
Yep.
And jails should be places where people are held in advance of trial or held carrying out their sentence that are clean and well tended and well guarded, and their safety is maintained, and on and on and on. So I know the whole idea of going to jail and suffer. Being locked up is suffering enough.
Yep.
You don't really need any more than that. accomplishes the social purpose, and we don't need to make it any more cruel than it already is. Speaking of going to jail, federal prosecutors subpoenaed the publisher for the National Enquirer as part of their Michael Cohen investigation. Mm-hmm. I think Michael's going to jail, too. I don't know that for sure, but I think he's going to jail. At the other end of the billionaire spectrum, Michael Bloomberg said he's going to cut a check for $80 million to support Democratic congressional candidates in 2018. Mike, if you have that kind of money and you're willing to spend it on advancing Democratic causes, our P.O. Box is 9133.
Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
Yeah, just cut a check. The all those other checks we're getting from Soros, yeah,
they
those
are
kind of
clearing. The Soros checks are bouncing.
It turned out there were novelty checks on Post-it notes. Apparently, they don't count. Donald Trump has threatened to shut down the government in September if Congress doesn't provide $25 billion for his stupid wall. Yeah. So that's exciting.
It's time to say that the wall is a physical impossibility, folks.
Right. Yeah. And Mexico will pay for that physical impossibility.
If you really want funding to do studies and so forth, ask Mexico for the money. Yep.
And the U.S. has bailed on the U.N. Human Rights Council, so we don't do that anymore. That's exciting. According to reports, John Kelly, who was going to save everyone, and apparently all the generals didn't quit at the same time like they promised they would, has given up all hope of trying to control President Stupid and has resigned himself to the possibility of Trump being impeached. The two are, quote, barely tolerating each other, unquote. So that's exciting. Again, very exciting. The Trump administration intentionally nominated a consumer financial protection asshole who might not be confirmed, deliberately sort of tanking it, just so that would allow Mick Mulvaney to stay on for as long as 2 more years. So they put, you know, a dummy up so that would guarantee fail. And it's like the producers, guaranteed failure means we're going to get rich. So that's exciting. The Dow fell 300 points after Donald Trump announced that he wanted to do $200 billion worth of dick waving with the Chinese. So, you know, stock market, that's good. Donald Trump rolled back consumer protection mandated by the Affordable Care Act. So they're busy. I mean, getting rid of every single thing Barack Obama did that was any good for anyone and screaming about immigrants and brown people and holding rallies, it's a full-time job, Lou Gal. Mm-hmm. It's nothing you can just skip over. There's a whole bunch of other things, but I do want to mention that Rudy Giuliani, remember him? Short guy, evil, full of bile, kind of nuts. This was the week when he said the Mueller investigation is over, when it's all over, things might get cleaned up with some presidential pardons. Because why the hell wouldn't he say that? It's not like anyone's going to take him away or make him stop saying it or stop putting microphones in his mouth. Also, he called on Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein to, quote, redeem themselves by getting rid of the investigation immediately. Yep. Isn't that exciting?
Yep. Yep.
Here in Illinois, Donald Trump rescinded Obama's rules protecting the Great Lakes and the oceans bordering the U.S. The order encourages more drilling and other industrial uses of the oceans and the Great Lakes. And also in Illinois, the Trump Tower in Chicago has never followed EPA rules.
And so they suck up so much of the Chicago River and are doing nothing to preserve the fish in that river, which they are mandated by law to do, and they're not doing it. Yep.
And the Chicago River is not 100%, but a pretty big success story because it used to be just a slag heap. It was just and people alive now remember going out to the river. I'm not one of them, but they're going out with their dads or granddads and fishing and eating what they took out of the river. And the Chicago River was on its way to being cleaned up. So they're all evil, Blue Gal. They're all bad. They all have to go. And in November, they all will go, or at least the first step will be in getting rid of them all. And then I hate to break it to you, the real work comes.
Yeah.
Because the real work is, you have to burn the lifeboats, folks.
Yep.
You have to make sure they don't get away with it this time. Because as sure as I'm sitting here, the media will mobilize itself to grant a general amnesty to everyone involved so that we can all forget about it. And if you think I'm nuts, take it up with Bill Kristol.
Yep.
Anyway, you know what we do each week on this podcast?
We do. Take some time to breathe this week. I know we didn't do a Bible bitch this week, but suffer the children to come unto me is what Jesus said.
Well, mention what the Methodist Church did.
Oh, yeah. The Methodist Church is calling on Jeff Sessions, who I can't believe it, but he is a Methodist. Over 600 clergy in the United Methodist Church signed this letter, basically saying, dude, what you're doing is child abuse. And this is the kind of thing that you would do within the church and move very quickly if you noticed that a pastor was doing child abuse.
That's right.
You would also report it to the authorities and get him arrested, but him or her arrested. In this particular instance, they wrote a letter and are following what we call the Book of Discipline, that he is not in keeping with the teachings of the church, with his policies. And they want to have a little talk with him about it. And
isn't there a specific policy that mentions separating?
There is in one of the books that, you know, a lot of these came out in kind of the Reform era. Some of them were written in 67. Some of them were written before that. And the Book of Discipline's been around, you know, since forever, but it's been revised a time or two. But someone on Twitter found the page and underlined it where it talks about the policy of separating children from their parents and how that is not in keeping with the teachings of our church. So like, he is very specifically disobeying a rule that is in writing, that is in print within the church.
And they can't put him in jail because there's no church jail.
No, there's no church jail. And this is not ecclesiastical. He's not a pastor. And this usually isn't used at all against the laity. I mean, it's just not. But
they can drum his ass
out.
This
is what they came up with because they need to do something. And he is being so blatantly anti-Christian. And I know that the people, I believe that the people in our particular conference in Illinois, in central Illinois, were from the council office or the conference office who signed this. Our pastor said something in church about it on Sunday. And a lot of people feel that the door was opened when Jeff Sessions used the Bible to defend his decisions, you know, that we obey the law.
Horrible, undefensible, atrocious.
But also he opened the door and the word sandbox was used in the pulpit this week.
Yes, it was.
You walked into my sandbox by saying the Bible says that you should obey me, you know, that we should obey the law, that I'm just obeying the law. And of course, that Bible verse has been used to justify slavery. It was used to justify being obedient to the British monarchy during the American Revolution. So, you know, that's not the one that we want to turn to. And I'm just very proud of my church. 9 to 11. I'm trying to remember the count. I think I had 11. 11 clergy within our conference signed that letter specifically.
Which is a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. But I think Drift Glass, that they handed that around at the conference office, and that's why our pastor wasn't on that signatory thing. So
he's middle management.
He's not right. this was guys up there, and still they had over 600 signatures, and they had signatures from the conference offices in Alabama where Jeff Sessions is a member.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Hillary Clinton United Methodist than a Jeff Sessions United Methodist. Just saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Remember to breathe. Remember to read a book or get involved in a charity or donate to charity. Parker Malloy, if you know Parker Malloy on Twitter, has started today something called I Do Care. idocare.com. Which is a website that links to, I believe it's 14 organizations that are making a difference at the border, including the ACLU. I give $8 whole dollars every month to the ACLU automatically because that is what I can afford, and that is how I make a difference, and that is how I show up. And so, you know, make your decision whether you, thank you if you get donated to this podcast, but do something that's going to make a difference. It will help you feel better about how things are going. Right now, we are trying to get our Patreon level of support up to $1,000 a month. And we're getting there. We're at like seven something. And so if we had something like 250 people give $1 a month, we'd be at our goal. So
if we had, what you're saying is, if we had one mention on a larger national podcast, that would do it.
Never mind.
Pretty much it. That would
and
do it.
Read a book, folks. Read books. Barack Obama mentioned some of the books that he's been reading lately. And someone pointed out, you're just rubbing it in because you're the last president who could read. today there is a Scholastic Reading Summit going on with reading teachers sharing how they are helping students love reading. And one of the lines that one of the teachers brought up in her presentation was a line from the Harry Potter books where Ron Weasley says, "I know what to do. We'll do what Hermione does. When in doubt, go to the library." Isn't that lovely?
Yes.
That's lovely. That's a wonderful sentiment. All right. Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Misty, who purrs on her own time frame and would rule the world if she had thumbs. I'm sure she would. Misty is a beautiful kitty, and you should visit Misty at our Facebook page and website. You can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And it can be an iced beverage as well. It certainly is hot out there. This is not charity. This is our job. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. We have our PayPal, postal address, Patreon, and GoFundMe information all there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter, and thank you for doing that. I notice when both sides and both siderism is in the news that we have a lot of listeners out there that go to Twitter and say, you know, there's a podcast out there that has been on this for over 400 episodes. And hey, we appreciate the props.
It's like our early alert system, you know?
It is. Both sides don't. Mm-hmm. Hey, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Oh, Blue Gal, the internet kitties say a fond farewell and rest in peace to Coco the Gorilla.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.